Morning Show on Radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your Morning Show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And Sam is not ready yet, but I think Sherry is.
I'm always ready. You don't have to let anyone know. They'll never know the difference.
Yeah. Well, what a morning for me, man.
Yes.
It didn't start out that way, you know.
We never
it
know.
It really didn't. I got up early, in fact, to try and accomplish some more. And then I guess we had a power outage here, so everything was like up on its head.
Uh-huh. But now it's all working, right?
It's working.
Good.
Everything's fine. We're on the air. And
we're moving forward.
You see, you manifested it for me.
Did
That's
I?
Cool. Yeah.
I don't know what I did. I just like coming in the morning and seeing you, just whatever state you're in. It's always an adventure.
Well, thank you.
I never know what day, what mood Sam's going to be in.
Yeah, I feel like a fucking tourist attraction.
Oh, but a fun one.
Yeah.
Like a roller coaster.
Very much so, yeah. Look
up
at the
down,
monkey.
Up
doing
and down, up and down.
Yeah, look at the monkey do his tricks.
Oh, I like monkeys. They're my favorite animal.
Yeah, really?
Maybe that's why I'm so intrigued by you.
Yeah. And now it's fucking warm in here too, right?
It is a little warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm wearing my special love peace sweatshirt.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we are going to have to take a quick break, I guess, sooner than later, so we can get comfortable in here.
Okay.
So back to your shirt. What is it?
I don't know. I'm about to take it off. I don't really need a break to take it off, but if you do.
Yeah, if I start sweating, we're going to stop the show.
Okay. Well, you'll start sweating once I take my shirt off. Like, put it back on.
Really? Well, let's try. We could test that.
Happy National Dessert Day.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just read it on Facebook.
Oh, really?
So I was like, okay.
Just, so you're game, right? You like dessert?
A couple of bites. That's about it.
Yeah.
I'm like a carb fiend, like potatoes, bread, that kind of stuff.
Sweets. So you like cake and that?
It's okay, but like sweets, I was just going to say like just a couple of bites and I'm good.
Yeah.
But give me pizza and french fries and bread and sandwiches and all that yum yum stuff. That's the stuff I stay away from.
I know. Usually I eat so much I don't have any room left for the dessert. You know?
Do you really eat a lot?
Not really, no.
Oh.
But last night I did a little bit. We went to a surprise birthday party for a friend. And I was so fucking bored. out of my fucking
You're like
skull.
The only person I know who's bored at every party they go to. I know your solution.
What?
Start bringing books to parties. Yeah,
in fact, I picked up a book and started fucking reading. I'm like, I don't have anything in common with these people.
Oh my god, that is like the worst insult to somebody.
Is it really?
Yeah, you're at a party and someone takes out a book. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, nobody was acknowledging me anyway. You know,
maybe.
I mean, it was like a little click, you know, and you feel like you can't really penetrate. You
know? I'm sorry about that. Sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, I know. As I was saying this, you see, I always know when you're going to come back at me with something.
Yeah, well.
You just wait for it.
Well, let me tell you, like, yesterday I was hanging out with some friends and everything that came out of my mouth was like, punch, punch. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting so bad. It's because I make fun of Sam now that, like, now my friends are looking at me like, who are you?
Yeah.
I embarrassed myself so badly, though.
Really?
This friend of mine called me and he was trying to tell me some news story, which I want to tell you later about someone. But he said, I haven't listened to your show yet. And I was like, well, you shouldn't. He was like, well, once you start plugging Trojans, I will. And I was like, give me a break. I talk about circle jerks and coming on my face. And he goes, I meant USC. And I was so embarrassed because my brain, he says Trojans, and I'm immediately thinking sex. And he's talking about USC. I was like, oh, right. We talk about football, too. And I realized right in the moment, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so dirty. Like, this guy's talking about sports. And
I think the radio's done that to you.
Is that what it is? Yeah. It's the radio. I'll just blame it on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Good. I will not take responsibility for anything that's
good.
Bad.
Good.
Anything that's good about me, it's all me.
Okay,
I made
well,
it
I wonder what your gem is for today for Sherry. Sharing with Sherry.
I barely even know. But listen to this, though.
Yes.
My friend, this guy that used to be my manager at my restaurant, quite a few years ago, he just got arrested for murder.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My friend emailed me. That's why I was like in disbelief. I don't know if you saw my Facebook status update or.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I didn't really talk about it. It just says Sherry is in disbelief.
Oh, okay. That's simple enough.
Well, because I didn't want to get all into it on there. I don't want, you know, even though it made it more mysterious and people are like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I, okay, well, the weird thing is that he wasn't just my manager. He tried dating me for a minute. But I wasn't interested. But he took me out. Like, he was really nice to me. He took me out to get my car fixed and stuff, and took me out to lunch and that kind of stuff. And, like, we were buds, you know. And then he started, and then when I wouldn't date him, he started dating somebody else at work and got her pregnant. And so he's been living with her. And, I mean, I don't want to, I think there's, like, media all outside her house now, so I don't want to talk about some of the things that I know, but he supposedly, this is already in the news, like, said, he told me he was in the military.
You better not say you know anything. I mean, you're going to become a fucking witness. Do you want to?
No, but I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. But listen to this. So he tells me all these stories. This is already in the newspaper, so what I'm talking about.
Okay.
He talks about, like, when we were friends, that he was in the military, and he used to be in the LA Sheriff's Office, all this stuff, and he used to wear dog tags and had his head cut. Buzzed, you know.
His haircut,
thank you. And he would walk around the restaurant, like, very militant, you know, and we used to make fun of him. Come to find out that that was all a lie. He was never in the military. He was never in the LA County. Like, he was a completely different person. And I hung out with this guy, and he was a murderer.
Jeez.
I know.
Well, you don't know he's a murderer yet. It's alleged,
right? Well, he got convicted.
Oh, he got convicted.
Yeah, they just arrested him for it, and because they found her body. I guess she was murdered maybe back in February, and they just found her body, like, stuffed in a bag. Like, on the side of some road in the snow.
Is that the girl he was living with?
No, I know
not
her.
The girl he
No, not her. So
this is another girl.
Yeah. And so they found it, and they found, and then he sold his truck, which he had cleaned out of all the blood and everything. And so they went and found the truck, and they found, like, the same, you know, her blood and the victim's blood in his car and all that stuff. So he's, like, convicted. And, like, the picture of him in the news is, like, this deranged face. And to know somebody that's, like, a murderer, to know that I hung out with him and he took me out for drinks and, like, he tried to, like, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you said he just got arrested?
Yeah.
So he's not convicted yet. I mean, he needs to have a trial.
Okay.
You're like, what's convicted?
Okay,
he gets arrested.
Yeah. No, then he has to go to trial.
Right. And then if he's guilty, he's convicted.
No, step one, Sherry. No, but...
Yeah, don't try to absolve yourself. I don't know this, I don't know that.
Listen, I play dumb sometimes, okay?
Yeah, you do. No, like this morning, I'm not technically savvy.
But I'm not. Yeah. You said power outage, so and then you're telling, saying how that's not working, so I'm assuming nothing else is working.
Okay,
right? Doesn't that make sense?
No.
Awesome. Anyway, I almost slept with a murderer.
Wow.
But it's not the first one in my life.
No?
No, I slept with someone else in Boston.
Yeah.
That was one of my trainees. And then, like, a month after I left, I found out he got arrested for murder. What's that about?
Sherry.
What am I attracting?
I don't know. I don't know. But from the guys you're telling me, you know, it's not a great choice of guys.
Okay. Well, first of all, these were years ago. I'm not in that place anymore. Remember I said destructive behavior? That's what I was attracting.
Yeah.
Now I'm attracting good stuff.
Yeah. Well, good.
But that was the extreme, like murderers.
Yeah. I'm sure you're, like, freaked out.
Yeah, like, completely. Like, reading all the stuff and saying he stuffed a body, okay, allegedly, stuffed a body in a bag and stuff, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and to think that I knew him well.
Jeez.
I know. So, that's
Did
what I...
Did you have any nightmares
no.
after that?
No. No. I woke up thinking, that's kind of hot.
Why am I not surprised?
I lived on the edge for a minute.
Yeah.
No, I don't get nightmares very often.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning like, oh, it's a beautiful day, except it's rainy and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no.
It's not except it's rainy. It's beautiful because
it is rainy. No. I really do like the rain.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I love it.
Except for the hair. It's not good on the hair. Frizz and all that stuff and all this nonsense.
Forget about the hair.
Well, I have
to. Enjoy the weather.
I did. Yeah. I did. It's just when you go from your car to wherever. I like puddle fights.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a puddle fight with somebody.
Really?
Well, I told you, I live in like movie world. So anytime I see anything, if it's rain, I'm like, oh, this would be beautiful to walk in the rain with somebody.
I suppose. Yeah.
Well, what do you love about the rain?
Well, wait a minute. So when someone cheats on you, do you envision them like running on the beach with their hair flowing in the air?
With somebody else, you mean? No, I picture me like with my face like looking outside of a car window or an airplane with like the tear coming down. And like looking back at all of our beautiful memories while our song's playing. And then, of course, he comes back and says he's so sorry and that I was the best thing in his life and
all
that kind of stuff.
So you don't picture them like in bed and stuff?
No,
like
in
ecstasy?
I vomit. In ecstasy. Listen to you. Like, why don't I picture the worst
thing? That's what happens to me. Yeah, the worst thing.
Yeah, no. See, remember the difference between you and I?
I
picture the happy and the bubbly.
I see.
I don't go worse.
Okay.
I don't go worse.
All right, cool. Look, we've got a phone call.
Already?
Let's see who that is. Good morning, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Reese Gulchin in West L.A.
Yes. Do we know him?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Reese Gulchin.
How you doing,
hey,
Reese?
Hey, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm looking at my Facebook page and I'm thinking, man, if I can't go outside, I'm going to stay inside and call in Sherry's show.
Awesome. Reese and I used to work together and I haven't seen him in quite a while.
Really?
Yeah, but I posted on my Facebook that if anybody has anything to rant or just say hi, to call into the radio station.
That's cool.
And listen.
Does he know the murderer?
I think you might know the murderer.
The murderer? For heaven's sake, what have I missed?
Well, should I say names here?
No.
I'll just say first names. Did you work with me at Daily Grill when Tony was the manager?
I knew of him, but I had left.
He just got arrested for murder.
Shut the front door. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just laughing at the front door comment. You can say fuck. Shut the fuck up.
Okay.
No, it's okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking. My goodness.
He murdered...
Who was he purported to have off?
See, he's smart enough. He said reported. I still say he's convicted. But just some girl, some 20-something-year-old girl. I don't know many of the details, but they found her body stuffed in a bag on the side of a road.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I know. And you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That it just, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. If you have to kill somebody, kill yourself.
That's true. It probably would have been better off. But see, I used to hang out with him and stuff, so it's kind of weird for me. I just found this out yesterday by an old manager who emailed me and said, hey, did you hear this person's arrested for murder?
Oh, God.
Kind of crazy.
Thank God he didn't endow any of these feelings on you. But I will say this. Sherry, you're a scrapper, you're a fighter. He would have stood no chance.
Yes, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Sherry's got a big left hook. Your listeners need to know that, Mama.
Really? I guess we do now.
Well, so that what he's saying, Sam, is you better be careful.
Really?
Yeah, don't say the wrong thing.
I see.
You might just
okay.
get an uppercut.
Yeah. You see, we find out more about you every day.
There's
now,
so much
Sherry,
more.
Sherry, I have implored you a million times. Have you still have not seen your 2.5-second performance in the short film I made a few years ago?
No, I have not.
2.5 seconds.
Shut up, Sam. There's no small actors, only small part. I mean, no. I mean, you know, shut up. There's no small parts, only small actors. So I'm sure it's the best 2.5 seconds of the whole movie, right?
Listen, it's certainly up there with every other great moment in my movie. And I'm always so grateful that when I do show it to people, you know, I watch it along with them and I think, oh, this Cher. This Sherry.
Is it online?
You know what? It is online. If you go on YouTube and do a search of either Reese Colchin or the title of my film, Corn Dog of Tolerance, you'll finally get to watch it. You know, I shot at a street festival where, you know, the Daily Grill had a presence over the years, and Sherry was running the booth, and it didn't even occur. I wasn't standing there when my DP was shooting all this footage. It wasn't until I was in the editing room when I looked, I'm like, there's Sherry.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what's
so
doing here?
So I'm in my uniform serving food. Fantastic.
The best part is you were not in your uniform. You were in some cute jeans and a clever top. So
clever.
At least don't look like
okay.
you're bringing food to somebody's table.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on you saying DP.
She's in the gutter all the time. You must know that. How do you know Sherry?
Sherry and I used to work together at the restaurant that she mentioned previously. I tell you something, I got through some of the most monotonous evenings of my life when Sherry would come up to the bar that where I worked and just spend time jawing with me.
Uh-huh.
And she was a little gift from heaven. Thank God I had Sherry to share and commiserate with.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. Sherry is all about sharing. You should know
yes,
that. Yeah.
She is that and more. She will share her 2 cents whether you want it or not. And she'll share a hug just when you need it.
Yeah.
Aww. I didn't pay him to call in and say
any
of this. Uh-uh.
Well, I'm convinced he's a friend. He seems to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very sweet.
You're very well spoken. What do you do as a waiter?
Well, first of all, I'm going on record right now. I was not a waiter. I
okay.
tried it.
I just
once.
Insulted I you, by
you
the way,
did.
Sherry.
Yeah. Well,
I was terrible at it. And the reason why I was terrible is because I'm too damn chatty.
Yeah.
You know, I go over
you
to someone's
chatty.
Table and listen, you know as well as I do. When you're at a restaurant, the polite and clever behavior of your server is appreciated, but you're not there to chat with that jackass. You want him to bring you your food.
Yes.
I was the jackass that wouldn't stop chatting.
I see.
We know. I waited quite a while for drinks at the bar sometimes.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
But you couldn't be mad at him because he's so awesome, but you would stand there and you'd be like, hi, my table's waiting for drinks while you're talking about whatever it is you're speaking about.
Yeah, I would pontificate and expound on so many things, and meanwhile, all I needed was a lemonade. Chop, chop. Let's go, Reese.
There you go. There you go. Well, you sound like a lot of fun. You should come into the studio sometime.
God bless you. I would love to come in there and
he's awesome
with
to
you
talk
guys.
To.
You guys have a fun show. It would be a riot to be in there with
Thank
you.
Thank you. Except you wouldn't know because you weren't listening.
Well, I wasn't listening this morning, but I've listened previously.
Oh, I see.
There
okay.
you go.
All right. You see, I was trying to get you to say that.
Well, you're just, you're on one today. Someone put the nickel in you.
Well, and, you guys are terrific. I'm glad I got to spend a couple of minutes catching up with you.
Oh, thanks for calling in.
I will call in again, and I would love to come in sometime.
We'd love to have you.
We'll have
Thank
you come
you
in.
Guys.
Okay.
All right,
Reese.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's Reese.
That is Reese. He goes by Mo.
Mo?
Yeah.
How did he get to Mo?
I have no idea. I never asked him.
Yeah. Mo stands for Muhammad, isn't it?
Well, in your world, in mine sounds for Mo money, Mo problems.
You got me there.
Yeah,
I didn't see
Muhammad.
That one coming.
Are you from, like, Israel or something?
It's not an Israeli name. Give
oh, yeah, whatever. But you have a lot of those over there.
Whatever.
Oh, which, by the way, whatever was voted the most annoying word in the English language or in the country.
Yes, I saw that. What was, like, there were some other ones.
Yeah, I have it written.
Which
anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway is really bad, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another bad one.
I know. Which one is your, like, least favorite one? I mean, which one do you really hate?
No. Yeah. The word no.
You know which one I can't stand is at the end of the day.
Yes, that was another one voted on there was at
really?
The end of the day.
Yeah, because I was looking for it. I didn't see it on the list.
No, it was there.
But I hate when people... Really?
It's when I try to wrap something up and I go, but at the end of the day.
Yeah, I hate when people say that. I don't know why.
You know what the worst thing is? All those words on the list, I was like, uh-oh, I'm super annoying.
Really?
Because I say them all.
Really?
But the word like wasn't on there, and I say like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that was something.
I wonder that why like was not up there.
I don't know, because it obviously doesn't
people
annoy
like
people.
It. Yeah.
Maybe they like.
Yeah, they like.
Yeah, but whatever. I think because whatever has a negative, you know, that you're just blowing somebody off, like whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But,
and it doesn't mean anything.
Right. And the same with anyway.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're blowing somebody off as well.
Yeah.
So why do you hate at the end of the day so much?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's like. Maybe because everybody's saying it.
Well, they copied me.
Yeah. You know, it's a good question. I forgot why I don't like it. No, I don't.
I forgot lots of things, so it's okay.
Cool. We got another phone call.
Oh, God.
Let's see. You got the whole world to call in this morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Chris. I'm Colorado, the altar boy.
The altar boy.
Yes. How you doing?
Yeah, I was actually going to come out there for a visit. I got friends of mine out there I met over the summer and, you know, email you guys, say, hey, I'm here for drinks because that's my calling card.
Yes.
I'm kind of scared to hang out with Sherry now. I mean,
will
I become a murderer now?
You think it rubs off?
Me around? I mean, that's a good possibility, but...
I'm not sure I'm influencing these people to murder anybody.
Yeah,
if anything, I think I'm being the other way around.
Exactly. She was almost a victim.
Well, it could be
maybe.
You're too positive, and you suck their positivity out. So you
wow.
leave them with a lot of anger.
Well, it was good talking to you, Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Wow, it's like you know me. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, now that she's your employer, Sam, does that mean she gets to hit you around?
She does. In fact, today I turned the, I asked her to get us water, and she looked at me like, how dare you? It's supposed to be the other way around.
Mr. Sam, we have to escort you out now?
Not something like that, but she started pretending she's like a little puppy.
I was like yes, master.
You said doggy? What?
No, I called him master.
Oh.
See, some people would be turned on by that. He took it as an insult.
Yeah. No, I usually take it as a positive, and you know, but that's just me. I'm funny like that.
Let's embarrass you, Chris. Chris read my, or no, listened to us the other day. Yes, he is. And listened to us the other day, and when I talked about masturbation and on the airplane and stuff, so then he decided that he'd email me and wanted to find out if I was a member of the Mile High Club.
I see, which I was going to ask you that moment.
Were you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know. I live up here in Mile High City. And over the summer, I was in the, I was up in Winter Park where I met a bunch of people from LA and whatever. And, needless to say, does that mean I'm in the double Mile High Club? Because literally, I'm 2 miles up.
I think anytime you have sex now, you're just always in the Mile High Club.
Chris, relax. It's only about having sex on the plane. You got to work
that
a little hard for that.
Thing.
Yeah. You got to work for it, man. To be in that club.
I usually get on a plane drunk. I hate flying. I, honest to God, even when I was active duty, I hated flying.
Yeah. You seem to be doing everything when you're drunk. You really love to drink, don't you?
He's Irish. Aren't you Irish?
Part of my heritage.
Yeah, I remember he talked about how Irish he is. And, you know, Irish and alcohol goes hand in hand. Jewish and guilt goes hand in hand.
Oh, my God. You remember that shit.
Well, yeah, you talked about being an alcoholic.
I start writing down what I say. Okay.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
This isn't a lie, Jack.
I remember anything so then I can then later make fun of people.
Yeah.
I hold on to these things.
Yeah. She's
that's
good.
Because
she's
you're
good.
A woman. That's because you're a woman.
Wow. So once again, thanks for calling in.
And you're insulting the shit out of her today, man.
I'm not trying to, though. That's
I know.
Insane.
I know, it's just it's just
blah,
the drink.
It's so easy. I thought you were saying so easy to make fun of me.
See no, what I was actually going to be out there in January. I got a few of my friends, seven of them, are like, when you coming out? And I was going to be like, hey, I'm in town. I just want to get hang out, drink.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you're in town.
Not all the damn time.
Yeah. When you're in town, we'd love to have you, man. So you'll have to stop by the show.
Just try to leave the alcohol at home.
Really?
Yeah, alcohol is much better here in California, so be prepared.
Ooh, not yesterday,
man. We got those microbreweries around here that I've actually kind of fallen in love with.
That's true. Well, that's cool, man. I'm glad you called. We do have to run because we have an interview in a couple minutes. But
no worries.
Yeah, thanks for calling, man, and keep listening.
Jared,
we
be nice
it.
To him, your employee. Be nice to him.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I'm trying. He makes it a little difficult.
I know. Today I gave her a hard time.
From the moment I walked in, he made fun of
you
me.
Never mind that I didn't even notice her coming in because I was so busy.
Anyway, favorite word.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Chris.
Have a good day, Chris.
See you. Thank you.
All right, bye. I guess today was probably the wrong day to post. Call in.
Why?
I don't know.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
So what do we have going on today?
We have going on, we have an author that we talked to last week.
Uh-huh.
And, okay.
We are on air.
I'm getting a message here that's totally unrelated to the show.
Well, you're supposed to be talking to me.
I know. I'm sorry. It pops up. Okay?
I feel unattended to right
Do
now.
You really?
Yeah, it's a little bit. I'm feeling ignored a little bit, Sam. Can you be right here with me? Men.
Can you look like right here?
Look into my
Focus.
Eyes and let's talk.
Yeah.
I can't have you doing everything else.
Yeah, it's hard to... you know, to run everything and people distract you.
Well, maybe we should hire someone.
No.
I mean, you should.
Yeah. No, we should ask people not to distract me.
Okay, fair. Well, I should be enough of somebody so that you don't get distracted.
I see.
I'm just trying to be a woman
okay.
right now.
All right.
I'm kidding. Do
well,
your job.
Let me tease this interview because this is an author we had a couple weeks ago, and he wrote the book The God Question, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
which sort of alienated you.
She's you joking. Always say stuff like this when I'm drinking.
To stop drinking.
I can't help it. Last time I drank nothing, you told me I was boring. Now I'm sucking my coffee down.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So
I made
it alienated me. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So he wrote another book called The 60-Second Philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really awesome. And he asked to come on the show
mm-hmm.
again. So... this is like really cool because like every page you turn is like a different topic and
oh, so it's for people like with no attention span. Kind
exactly,
of
like me. Yeah. So check this out. I mean, let me give you an example of what this is like.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question. Like, God is omnipotent, right?
Okay.
He can do everything. Okay. So I'm asking you the question: can God create a rock that He can't lift?
No.
Okay, but we just said that God is omnipotent, so
right?
He can.
He can do anything.
Right.
Right. So he can't. He cannot. Anything that he creates, he can.
Right. Okay, so you're saying he cannot. No, you're saying he cannot create a rock that he cannot lift. So you're saying he can do everything, right?
I think he can do everything.
Okay.
Correct.
So, but if he can do everything, how can he not be able to pick it up?
Because I didn't say that he could not. You're confusing me.
You are. You see, I mean, it's very simple. It's not a trick question.
Yeah.
It can either be answered yes or no, right?
Right.
Okay. If you say yes, he can create a rock that he cannot lift, then you ask yourself.
Well, I guess that depends if he chooses to do that. If he chooses to create a rock that he cannot lift, then he won't be able to lift it because he made that choice to do that.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if he can't do any. No, you're saying he. Chose not to be able to.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, but
I think God can choose to do anything, like lift it or not lift it.
Okay. That sucks, man.
I don't like your answer, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask somebody else, please?
We're going to ask the author. He's going to argue with you on that.
He can argue. How can he argue about God? His opinion
No. But, I mean, I think you missed what I'm asking.
Well, maybe.
Look, it's very simple. If you say... Okay, I guess I'm not getting anywhere. Let's let him explain that. You see, but that's philosophy. That's what you do. It's like without evidence, you try to like think things out.
Right,
you know?
And I am, but I have my own. But I have my own.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a third answer I didn't expect. It wasn't in the script.
But is anything that I ever say in the script?
I guess not.
But my answer, I bet you a lot of people relate to my answer.
I suppose, yeah. But somehow,
just because you only have two ways of looking at it doesn't mean that is there only two ways?
No.
Okay. So
well, there is. It's either yes or no. Can he or can he not?
It depends. How about a depends
answer?
No,
there's no depends. There's no depends. I just want a yes or no answer. It was a yes or no answer. Can God create a rock
yes.
He cannot lift?
If he chooses to. That's what
okay.
I said. That's
right.
All I said. That's all I added on to that was
okay.
If he chooses to.
But if he can't lift it, then he's not omnipotent.
First of all, I can't stand listening to you say that anymore. Omnipotent.
Okay, how you
omnipotent.
Omnipotent?
Omnipotent.
Okay.
But
thank
I might
you,
be...
Thank you for correcting me the first fucking time.
Well, because then I had to think to myself that you're really intelligent, and I'm thinking all this time, maybe I'm
okay,
saying it incorrectly.
Omnipotent. Okay, I knew I was saying it wrong.
Oh.
You know how some words, like for 30 years, you read them, but you never hear them said out loud?
Yes, most of the words
That's
I say.
That's what it is. Okay,
well, I know it's omnipotent.
Okay, omnipotent. You're right. You're
oh,
right. I'm
wow.
not going to correct you on that.
No. I'm never right around
yeah,
you.
I can correct you on grammar, but not on pronunciation.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I'm a great speller, so.
There's still some words I never heard pronounced
okay.
before.
Good.
Believe it or
I'm
not.
Very excited inside right now.
Are you
I finally
really?
Know something more than you.
Good. Okay.
Good.
All right. We call him Andrew Pessin, and if I remember correctly, he's in Rhode Island.
Yeah, he was by the beach or something,
yes.
right?
A beach house. Wow, you have a good memory.
Hello.
Andrew, good morning to you. It's Sam and Sherry
calling. Good morning.
Hi, Sam and Sherry. How are you?
Good, good. I was just reminding everyone that you're in Rhode Island, right? Like, we're right on the beach.
I am close to the beach. Not right on the beach, but close enough.
Close enough. Can you see the ocean from where you are?
If I stood on a very tall ladder on top of my roof, maybe.
Okay.
That'd be a little dangerous, so don't.
Yeah. I don't plan to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, just take a simple walk. It works better.
What's the weather like there in Rhode Island today?
It's turning fall. It's definitely autumnal. The last few days were down like low 50s and in the 30s overnight, so
nice.
Summer is definitely over.
I like it.
Yeah, that's cool. So
it is refreshing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we have a pretty nice fall day up here too, and I can imagine how cool it is where you are.
Yeah.
But
it's good with a fleece on.
Yeah.
It's my favorite time of year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put on just a warm cozy.
Yeah. Even in the winter though, it's never really cold. Not like up there.
Well, it's never like back east,
yeah.
but it's still, you know, after living here for so long, you just like adapt. You're like, it gets to 60, you're like, it's freezing.
Yeah.
That's right.
My roommate was like in a fleece coat yesterday. I was like, is it cold out? And she was like, I thought it was colder than it really was.
Yeah. Well, even the winters here have gotten, I think, noticeably milder over the last 5 years or so. Not necessarily due to global warming, but just the,
yeah.
the latest trend is, you know, two or three bad snows, and that's about it for the season.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is cool. So just to remind everyone, you're a philosophy professor at, what is it, Connecticut College?
At Connecticut College in New London, Connecticut. That's right.
Right. And you're a pretty smart guy. I mean, you went to Yale, and where else did you go?
I did my undergraduate at Yale, and my PhD is from Columbia University.
Very impressive. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind learning some philosophy from you.
This is why I stay quiet during this conversation.
Here I am. Ask away.
Yeah. But what struck me is I was going on your website, and I guess you were on David Letterman, and they called you the genius. Can you explain that to us a little bit? That sounds interesting.
I sure can, although it was a few years ago, and apparently it was before he began sleeping with all of his staff, so I missed out. But,
you have to qualify that, right?
I don't know what was wrong with me, but I don't want to go there. In any case, I had the good fortune. It was ultimately a fluke to appear as one member of a trio of superheroes, the strong guy, the fat guy, and the genius, and
right.
I was the genius.
I see.
And our mission on this earth was to break things, eat them, and solve them. So I did the solving. And Letterman would take us around to various offices or various stores in the vicinity of his theater, and we would ask the various people to give us something to break, eat, and or solve. And they put it all together in a very amusing skit, which is available on my website, andrewpesson.com. So if your listeners are looking to enjoy or waste a few amusing moments, they can find that David Letterman skit right there.
Did you enjoy being the smart one, the one that was solving, or did you want to be the strong one?
I wouldn't mind being the strong guy either, actually. But that was not in the cards. So,
right.
So I'll settle for the genius.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
What a settlement, too. Damn, I have to be smart. I mean, a genius.
I have to portray a smart person as a distinction. But,
gotcha.
But it was a lot of fun. And, of course, I've been trying to milk it ever since.
Yeah, there
you
go.
As you should.
So you released two books at the same time, right?
It's been a busy summer. I released
genius.
A book in July. We had our third child in August and then a second book in September. So in 3 months, I had two books and one kid, which comes out to a rate of roughly 8 books and 4 kids a year, if I could just keep that up.
Yeah.
it's been busy, but it's, you know, filled with lots of good things.
Wonderful. So you still find time to write. Well, you didn't have the child when you were writing, so now it might be a little harder.
I'm gonna take a little break from the writing until the, you know, I think we'll give the kid 10 weeks and then we get back to work. But so the first book, which we did have a chance to talk about previously, is called The God Question, What Famous Thinkers from Plato to Dawkins Have Said About the Divine. And it looks at some of the more important, interesting, and often strange things that great thinkers have said about God. And then the second book is, of course, called The 60-Second Philosopher, Expand Your Mind on a Minute or So a Day. And that's trying to be a very lighthearted and fun and accessible introduction to some of the more interesting and often strange and counterintuitive ideas of philosophy as well. So that's the one that just came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah. This one's perfect for me.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I enjoyed it as well. It is fun. It's easy to read. You know, there's short chapters and stuff. And you take on topics that we're involved with every day, like the motion of time or the passing of time. And you talk about God, obviously, and other things that people sometimes ponder.
Well, what I'm trying to do is start challenging what most people's, including my own, very common sense beliefs or intuitions about the world. Very few of us have the leisure or luxury to really think carefully about what we're doing and what's going on in the world and what the world really is like, ultimately. And I think that when one does put aside a few minutes, a minute or so a day, let's say, the 60-second philosopher, one can begin to realize that a lot of the things that you believe about the world, you just inherited those beliefs without ever examining them or carefully looking at them, and that when you do examine them a little bit, you might discover that a lot of what you believe about the world just simply isn't true. So what I'm trying to do in the book is challenge people's common sense intuitions about very ordinary things, including, as you mentioned, the nature of time and the nature of dreaming and the question of morality, what's right and what's wrong, and the question of free will, which is one that a lot of people care a lot about. So I'm trying to take things that are common features of experience and suggest that there's more to them than typically meets the eye.
Right. And that's through thinking and trying to rationalize and find the logic in everything. Now, I asked Sherry one of the questions here in your book, and it sort of stayed with me because it made sense. But then Sherry came up with a third answer, and I didn't know how to deal with that.
Oh no!
He was very unhappy with my answer.
Yeah. So you know, that's the one about can God create a rock that He cannot lift? You remember that?
Okay. No, sure. That's a classic. Absolutely.
Right.
Let me just summarize the question for your listeners.
Yes,
so,
please.
This is, interestingly, it's often raised as a paradox for those people who believe in the existence of God. So many atheists will come along and say, you believe in God? Well, what do you say to this question or paradox? But in fact, historically, the question was raised by some profound religious thinkers, including the medieval Catholic theologian St. Thomas Aquinas, because he wanted to understand God as thoroughly as he could as a believer. And if you want to understand God, you have to have an answer to this question, Aquinas felt. So the basic question is examining the idea that God is omnipotent or all-powerful. And it examines it by asking very simply, if God is omnipotent or all-powerful, could he create a stone so heavy that he couldn't lift it? And it seems on the surface, and I'm very interested to hear what Sherry's third answer is, but it seems on the surface
now.
Only two answers are possible, that yes, he could create such a stone, or no, he could not. And it can quickly be shown that whichever answer you go to with those two, yes or no, that you're going to end up concluding that God is not omnipotent. And so therefore there's a real challenge to the idea that God is omnipotent.
Right.
So this would be a good time to ask what your third answer is, because if the yes and no answers both lead to giving up belief in omnipotence, maybe the third one doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually think my answer still leads that he is omnipotent, because I said yes if he chooses to do so. So if he chooses to make the rock so heavy that he cannot lift it, then of course, then he can, because he made that choice.
That's right. That's right. So what you might notice now, if you go back and look at the chapter where this is addressed, that in a very, very subtle way, I tried to anticipate that response. The question is not, is there something right now that God can't do? Because then you're right. If he never chose to make that stone, there never would be an unliftable stone for him. But it's asking something subtly different. It's asking, could there be something God can't do? And even if he chooses never to lift that stone, if you say he could create that stone, mm-hmm. even if he chooses not to, then there could be something he can't do, which is a problem for omnipotence.
Right.
So it's raised in terms of not what does he actually do, but what could there be? And presumably, if you say yes, he's all-powerful, he could create such a stone even if he chooses not to, the mere fact that he has the ability to, he could create it, is enough to raise the problem.
Right.
So hopefully that anticipates that very clever third answer.
Right.
Uh-huh, and, he called
yeah,
it clever.
And, yeah, I mean, the third answer is always, it depends, you know?
It's like my third eye, okay?
That's right. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the thing about philosophy is there's always more to say, right? So that was, Shari gave, I think, a very clever response to this, but then this is the kind of thing that Aquinas is going to respond to her response, but there's more to say. So in a longer discussion, we could examine whether, in fact, the response I just gave really is enough to reestablish the original problem or
right,
not.
Right.
So it's the beginning of a conversation. As, you know, a book entitled The 60-Second Philosopher suggests, I don't think that you're going to get to the bottom of philosophy, certainly, in 60-second installments, but the hope is it's a really good start. It will get people thinking about these interesting questions and beginning to formulate answers, and hopefully to pursue more books after this one to, you know, follow up their train of thought.
Yeah, it definitely.
So it's a beginning.
It ignites the curiosity, you know, and the interest and stuff. But as you said, philosophy is about really thinking and discussing and arguing and all that
That's
stuff.
Right.
So it's absolutely. You know, I mean, something that's a lot deeper than this, but at least he gets you to think. And then, you know, wouldn't you know, Sherry would come up with a third answer before I was even ready. So
that's
I figured you'd help me out on this one.
Right.
Well, at least
you know,
I'm
before
thinking.
You can even begin to think, you have to realize there's a question to be thought about.
Right.
And so that's what I'm really trying to do in this book, is begin to, as I said earlier, start challenging common sense beliefs about the nature of time, about the nature of dreaming, about the nature of freedom. And once you challenge them a little bit, you'll start to realize, oh, there's a question here. I don't know if I really understand what time is, or I don't know if I really understand what free will is, or whether I do have free will. So I'm trying to get the questions on the table to begin the thinking process.
Right, right.
It's great because you're right. Most people do go through life and you know what they were raised on and those beliefs, as opposed to, you know, their own thinking. And I think once the proper questions are asked, then you have to start thinking about it and formulate opinions of your own. So I think
that's right. That's right. And personally, I believe that the activity or the endeavor of thinking about these questions, even if you can't quite get to a convincing solution or convincing response, but the activity itself is really beneficial in lots and lots of ways. It expands your mind. It makes you a sharper, more critical thinker. It makes you more aware of things that are going on around you. And ultimately, even, I think it helps you see the world more different in a sort of different way. And I'd like to use the following analogy, which is in the book somewhere. I just had a baby, our third child, and you can't help but look at a newborn and think, what a miracle. That's a very frequent idea that occurs to many people. It's a miracle, mm-hmm. this tiny little thing, tiny little fingers, tiny little toes, and all the pieces fortunately, you know, work and fit together and went through this complex process of development. So you look at a baby and you think, what a miracle. But when was the last time you looked at an adult and thought the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
But an adult just is a baby who's grown up a little bit.
Right.
And the reason we don't is because we're just so used to people around us. We're accustomed to them. It's habitual to us to see people that we stop realizing that even grown-ups are actually miraculous. And in fact, it turns out almost everything in the world around us is miraculous if you think about it
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Right.
And so the hope is, you know, this book, I'm trying to sort of break the habits that we have of not really thinking and not really noticing. And when one does that, I think one has a really newfound appreciation for the world around one. It's almost like a spiritual experience. You look around and suddenly everything seems significant. Everything seems miraculous. Everything is interesting. And you know, that I hope is sort of the main benefit that readers might acquire.
That's awesome. I call that living consciously.
Yeah.
Living consciously, exactly. And no, not, you know, not everything being routine and just, you know, commonplace.
I know, I call it living in awe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And and I totally agree with you, you know, and you do explain it great in the book of, like, how many forces, how many things, the timing, everything had to be just perfect for this entire universe to happen, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
And
yeah, you're referring to one of the more interesting and very contemporary arguments for the existence of God. So it's sometimes called a cosmological argument, and it's based on the certain observations in physics that for the world to exist as we know it, with conscious beings who are rational beings capable of thinking about morality, let's say, that incredible number of things had to all fall into place sort of exactly, and had any one of those things not been the case, we wouldn't have been here. And many have looked at this as sort of a hidden signature of a divine being, God, that it can't be an accident that all of these things fell into place exactly as they needed to. And so it's a very, very interesting and intriguing argument, which is generating a lot of discussion these days amongst philosophers. And what's especially interesting about it is it's based on physics. So right. It's unlike sort of the common idea that science and religion are terribly at odds with each other, or at least science and belief in God. This is an argument for God's existence that comes from science. To fully appreciate it, you'd have to study some physics. And, you know, so that's the stunning thing about that argument.
Right, right.
But as you're mentioning, once one is aware of it, you can't help but look around and see, as you said, living in awe, I think, is a really great expression for that. Like, it will promote awe.
Right.
Awareness of these ideas.
Right. A lot of respect for what's going on around us. And then you tackle the subject of the mind, you know, and you try to explain what the mind is. Can you go over that with us for a moment?
Sure, sure. It is certainly one of the oldest philosophical questions, and it continues to vex to this day. And basically, the question is, what are minds? What is a mind, and how are minds related to bodies or brains? It's very tempting for many people to think a mind is nothing more than a brain. All that exists are physical things, and our brains do all of our thinking for us, so to speak. But there are all sorts of reasons to question that, including, for example, let me give a quick little thought experiment. If you were to look at a light for a moment and then close your eyes and concentrate on what you're aware of, and this is something you can do right now, I hope, what you'll notice is there's something called an after image. You'll see kind of, it can vary in color, but for me it's like a bluish, purplish little patch inside my eyelid.
Right.
And it results from, you know, having my eyeballs being stimulated by the light and then my eyelids closing. But now ask yourself, here you are seeing a bluish, greenish, purplish patch. What is this patch exactly? Where is this bluish, purplish thing? And the possible answers seem to be it's either on your eyelid or in your eyeball or in your brain, right? Those are the only three places, because your eyes are closed as you're looking at this bluish, purplish patch. And it's pretty obvious it's in none of those places. If someone were to be looking at your eyelid, there'd be nothing blue or purple there. If they were looking in your eyeball, there's nothing blue or purple there. If they're looking in your brain, there's nothing blue or purple there. So here you are seeing something which is bluish purple, but there's nothing physical that's bluish purple in your eyelid, eyeball, or brain. Conclusion? There must be more to us than our brains, our bodies, our physical bodies, because here's this bluish purplish thing which is not physical in nature. And so once you become aware of that, you start realizing, minds might be something very different from our brains and bodies, and that's a very interesting thing to begin reflecting on.
Right, right. You see, Cherry, it can be interesting.
I'm fascinated by it. I know I am.
Yeah.
I think about things in other ways. You know, I come to all my conclusions, you know, through spirituality. So,
yeah, there you go.
Which is not unrelated to these pursuits, right? Because even then you're, as you say, coming to something through spirituality, mm-hmm. you're questioning, and then you're thinking about the answers that you give, and that's to philosophize.
Yeah.
I should mention
I'm a philosopher?
I actually believe everyone is, to various degrees, that we all have a philosopher within us. Typically, children, as we know, ask lots of questions, lots of why questions, why this, why that. And to me, that is the essence of philosophy. And for some reason, again, as we get older, we stop asking those questions. We stop noticing that there are questions to be asked. But I think the tendency is still there within us. And so we all have a philosopher within, whether we like it or not, and that good things can come from letting that philosopher sort of stretch his or her legs a little bit. I should mention to your listeners, there is a blog associated with the book, so that is one way to sort of get involved in conversations on some of these issues, and you can link to the blog from the website, which is andrewpessin.com.
Right.
And you can find the blog that way.
Right. Wonderful. Well, we're talking to Andrew Pessin, of course. The book is The 60-Second Philosopher, and this thing just came out, right, this book?
Came out a few weeks ago in September. That's
yeah.
Right.
Well, wonderful. I mean, I love this stuff. I already read half of it yesterday, and Sherry is eager to read some of this, even though... Yeah.
Yeah, even though what?
You're trying to wrap your mind around it still.
This is the woman who came up with that very clever third response to the unliftable stone problem.
There you go. You see, I got to live in awe of her.
Oh. Well, I told him every time that I read something like that, you know, I'm always like formulating my own opinion. So I just read and I'm like, okay, but, you know, with everything that I read. So it's difficult for me sometimes to delve into a book because I just want to argue with everything.
that's why you're on the radio.
That's a philosopher speaking.
Yeah.
So. I'm adding that to my resume today. I'm a philosopher.
There you go.
In fact, I deliberately wrote this book sort of hoping to get people engaged. My dream would be to see people looking at it in the bookstore and arguing with it, yelling at it, like disagreeing, because that's what gets one going.
Right, right. And, you know, I was actually entertaining, like maybe taking a chapter a day or something and sort of bringing up those topics and talking about them, you know, because it's just absolutely fascinating. You know, some of the things that we don't even pay attention mm-hmm. to. That when you start thinking about it, it's like, it's really fascinating, yeah. You know?
Excellent. Well, and if you end up doing that, you know, I'd be more than happy to come back down and chat periodically about the thoughts that you generate or, you know, the feedback that you might get.
Absolutely.
If you were to do such a thing. So
yeah.
That would be terrific.
You're very interesting. You're very fun. And absolutely, we'd love to have that. So everybody go to andrewpessin.com, get the book, The 60-Second Philosopher, also The God Question, and I know they're both on Amazon and everywhere that books are sold. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning, and congratulations on the baby, too.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
What a nice guy.
He
man.
Is a really nice guy.
Yeah, I remembered him being nice in the first interview. So
you remembered something, huh?
Yeah. You see, even I remember things.
See, I like your idea of like philosophizing. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Philosophizing every day. But if we had him on, then he's a genius. Right. I'd never want to give an answer. I'd be like, I'm wrong. He's right.
No, but it's not about that. It's about discussing it. I don't think there's right and wrong in philosophy. You know.
See, I didn't know any of that stuff we're going to be discussing. But I brought my own book, which makes us think about stuff anyway. The Book of Questions. Because it asks you, it's about, you know, around the same thing, about asking certain things that just make you start thinking about life and what's really important, you know. Basic questions that then make you delve into other things.
So we're
on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
For once.
Yeah. So let's give people a preview. We're going to do Sherry and Sherry. Sherry and Sherry?
Sherry
with Sherry.
Here.
No, we're not going to do it now. I just wanted to give people a preview.
You just want to hear the song because you've been waiting all the
week. I've been playing this song. I mean, it's played in my mind all the friggin' time. Sherry with Sherry.
Oh, God, if it sounds like that, I wouldn't want to go.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to sound like that.
You're so mean. Have you ever noticed that people that are so nice, everybody else is so mean to them?
Really? Maybe you're inviting this.
No, I'm not. If it makes you feel better about yourself, then by all means, be mean.
Oh, okay. All right, everyone. We're going to take a short break. By the way, we have to apologize for not showing up yesterday for the show, but Sherry really was preparing for it.
I was totally prepared.
And I don't know, I was like so freaking tired yesterday, and I thought... I don't know that I can carry 2 hours today.
I had enough. I had enough prepared to carry it. I thought about coming in by myself. But
really?
But I wouldn't know how to turn that on. You got to teach me.
No, you're not going to do a show by yourself. Get it through your head.
He says that now.
I'm not giving up control. Are you out of your mind?
That is true. You are a control freak. You can come in and run the board. You don't have to say anything. It would would have been an interesting show, though.
I'm sure it would.
So I was thinking, I was like, I'd have nobody to talk to or anything, but that'd be even better. There'd be nobody to interrupt me. I could just go.
I'm sure you could
it's
do
like, a, wind me up and go.
You could do a one-person show, no problem.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, let's do it once. I won't be here. I'll show you how to run the board. You do your own show.
You'll never do that.
Why?
You just said it a second ago.
Because I was kidding. Oh. I'll let you do it.
No, it's okay. I like having your company.
Oh, thank you. Jeez.
When you get my
you
water for me.
To see.
I need to go pee.
All right, let's go together. And we'll be back right
not
after
this.
Not
in the same
this.
Stall.
Sam and Sherry in the morning.
right here on LA Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back.
Did you miss us?
I missed you.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing. I just didn't want to ask.
An entire 4 minutes.
Without me.
Yeah.
It's like 4 minutes apiece.
Withdrawals.
Oh, join the club. Oh.
So I'm thinking I'm such an asshole for saying omnipotent. I created a new word.
I knew you were going to hang on to that.
Yeah, because it's hard. I mean,
you're a perfectionist.
It's hard to deal with it, you know?
That's why I didn't, at first, like when you first said it, I was like, do I say something?
Yeah, you
but
do.
But I didn't know. But yeah. I didn't know if I was wrong. I mean, I knew that omnipotent was right, but I thought maybe there was an alternate pronunciation of it that I'd never heard.
There's always alternate pronunciation.
Yeah, and then it just kept driving me crazy. Like everyone, you were saying it, and I was just like, I have to say something.
Would you say it right? God damn it.
Listen, everybody knows you're intelligent, Sam. No one doubts
that. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So stop. So let it go.
Okay.
Let it go.
Take a breath.
It never
breath.
Happened. It's in the past.
Yeah. That's true.
Uh-huh.
Except it lives forever in the archive.
No, it lives forever in your guilt. In your guilty head. Like, why am I an idiot? I mean, not that you're calling yourself
you
an idiot.
You know what? I'm going to find words in the dictionary you can't pronounce. And I'm going to bring them in.
Do you see? I was... Why are you getting all vengeful?
You're right. It's not your fault. I mean, you just pointed it out, and I'm glad you did. So why am I giving you a hard time?
Thank you for noticing that about yourself.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm being defensive. Okay, so it's time for sharing.
You could do a whole segment on your own. You're learning.
I guess. All right.
I'm all like gushy inside that he apologized.
Take your face and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there so I can come on it. Take your face and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there and hold it there so I can come on it.
Different versions. Jesus,
you like it when I come on your face and now it's time for sharing. Sharing with Sherry. So open wide and take my load. You love it. You love it because you told me so. It's time for sharing with Sherry.
Okay, the stage is yours.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to turn this into a good thing. I am glad that he gets such pleasure out of making these songs about me.
There you go.
And
I'm going to invite all the listeners to send in songs now.
Are you now?
I was thinking I should do some.
I'm thinking so,
like
too.
Like karaoke.
Right. Anything that they want to do, I will embrace and be happy about. Because let me tell you, it's all about your perception today. Today we're going to talk about perception. And some people think that... semen on the face is a degrading, disgraceful, non-respectful thing.
Or just a funny thing.
Right? No. I'm just saying it's all about perception.
Okay.
And I, on the other hand, can see it as a form of love.
Mm-hmm.
That you like my face so much that you want to share part of yourself on it.
You're disgustingly positive. Let's take a phone call real quick.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't mean
to interrupt. I don't know what to do anyway.
Good morning, you on the...
Hello?
Yes.
Is Sherry there?
Sherry's here.
Hello?
Sherry.
Hi.
Do you know who it is?
I don't.
You can't tell by the screaming baby?
Okay, I live in Florida, and I married your cousin.
Oh, I was just going to call her by her baby's name. Sarah. Hi,
yes.
I'm getting a bunch of personal phone calls today at work.
Yes,
do I get in trouble for this, Sam?
Well, that's what you get when you put it on my space and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone pays attention to it. How are you?
You know Aunt Cheryl's going to call you here soon, too.
Oh, my aunt who said that I talk about too much smut on the air.
I see. And she's going to call in?
Yes. Okay. Well, this is her daughter-in-law.
Oh, I see.
So this is my cousin's wife.
Uh-huh.
And
I just wanted to call and say that I love the show.
Thank you.
Listen to it every day.
Every day, huh? God's awesome.
Every day.
So you
every
just
day, me and Brett start off with you on the radio.
So really, so my cousin's hearing about all my dirty.
Yeah, the whole friggin' world is.
Yeah, Sam, and
yeah, we love your little profile. How you say you're dirty little whore?
You don't understand. This is my family right now. I'm really embarrassed.
I think they know you by now, Sherry.
Well, I don't talk about
the
certain things.
The question is, everybody wants to know when you're going to come back to Florida and visit.
As soon as I get some vacation time and some money, I'll be right down.
Yeah. It's always either you don't have time, you don't have money for a vacation, you know?
No, I can make time and I can make the money.
Yeah.
But I have a free ticket next month to New York, so that looks like that might be first. But I'm definitely coming down to see baby Peyton for sure. I haven't seen
for
her
sure.
yet. For sure.
Because I wasn't home when you came.
I know.
Yeah. How old is the baby? When did you have it?
She's 8 months old. She's got her birthday the day before mine.
Oh, really?
And I had her in January.
In January
29th.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy thing is that Brett, who is my cousin, he was like the least person in the family like to have a baby or to be in any sort of relationship like this. So when they got pregnant, we were like, really, a dad? And now he's like the best dad.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing what babies, you know, do to you.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, don't need anything to show me how great I am.
Hey, I told you, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
Honor, I'll send her.
No, you don't need to send her.
So, Sarah, is it generally accepted in the family that she's full of herself?
No.
That's funny, Sam. They know that I'm not. It's all an act.
No.
It's all an act.
It's all an act.
Right.
Well, I just wanted to call you, hon, and say congratulations, because I haven't given you a chance. I haven't talked to you since last Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you for calling and for listening to us. That means a lot. Just make sure that, you know, when Aunt Cheryl or Uncle Barry walk in the room, turn the volume down.
Yeah, just be careful.
Well, you know, we were all disappointed when on More to Love, we only got to see you 30 seconds.
Yes, I know. So did the rest of the world.
It kind of looked like you were trying to hide in the corner.
Yeah, well, that's because I was wondering what the hell I was doing on there.
All right. We love you, babe. We just wanted to call you and say hey and good luck.
Send my love to everybody.
Thank you for calling.
I will.
Oh, thanks.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
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 I didn't know it was going to be a calling in Sherry day.
Well, all you had to do is ask.
Well, my update was, you know, if you have anything you want to rant about or talk about or just say hi to us, give us a call.
Cool. So they're all calling to say hi with nothing to say.
No, but you know what's awesome? That means that they're listening, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So that's good.
Yeah.
And, of course, they had to call in right after you just played that song.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll just get back to it. But we'll be a little polite.
Yeah,
so
you.
Okay, put you in the right mood.
Thank you. Oh, love it.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. Okay, so I was going to say that today is about perception, because everything that I just lost my page, but that's okay. I'll perceive to see that as a sign that maybe I'm not supposed to read.
It must be so tiring to think that way, you know?
It must be really tiring and hard on your heart and stressful to think such negative thoughts all the time.
No, that comes naturally to me.
Well, so does this, though. It does after a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
After you keep bullshitting yourself.
Wow. How did I ever find you? Or how did you find me?
I don't know.
Okay, well, there it went. But, no, today, like, everything that I talk about every single day, you know.
You can go ahead and look for it. It's fine. We've got time.
Well, but I don't want to be looking about. Well, I have something that I want to read. This is something that, in certain parts of this book is by Iyanla Van Zandt, which is another one of my favorite authors, and this one's about lessons for women on the journey to peace. And I got this many years ago, and I shared it with my mom, and so she marked all of these pages. I'm like, wow, she has a lot to learn, or a lot that she wants to remember. But everything that I talk about, whether it's about forgiveness, you know, kindness, all that stuff, it's all based on, you know, everything. The basis of it is perception and how you see the world. And haven't you noticed that there are so many people that no matter what happens to them, even if it's positive, they like put a negative spin on it, or they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Well, you know what? I got money, but I'm sure like my car's going to break down and now I'm going to need to spend that money on that.
Yeah,
you
know I know quite a few people.
Do
like
you?
That. Intimately too.
Am I looking at
one?
At
least one, yeah.
Am I staring at one? So this one little quote that I like, it says, and you're supposed to say it to yourself, which is cheesy, but it says, "Dear self, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change what I did. I would change the way I felt about what I did." And that basically means every choice that you make, instead of, like we talked last time about regret and, you know, living in the past and everything, it's about, you know, accepting the choices that you make and being okay with it and just the way that you see it instead of seeing it so negatively that you just see it, you know, it's all about your perception and seeing it in the positive light and it was there for a reason.
What did you just say?
I don't know. I'm still looking for my page. It's going to drive me crazy.
It's okay.
Now, no, you know what's funny is that now people will be able to see me in my moment of whatever and how I'm going to deal with this.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it.
Oh, cool.
See, and I knew. I prayed to the gods of finding something. When you lose something, isn't there one out there? Okay, so this one is about, for all you negative folks, you negative Nellies out there that are always like looking for something bad to happen next. It says,
and she gives me a dirty look.
Go ahead. I don't know how to give dirty looks. Those are just my eyes. They're just dirty eyes. Okay,
all right, let's hear
so
it.
You can get so caught up in being miserable that you will not see your blessing when it comes. You can become so addicted to having crisis in your life that the minute one crisis is resolved, you're on the lookout for the next one. It's very easy to miss the perfectly delightful experiences and moments of peace or joy when you're preoccupied with all of the possible tragedies that could befall you. It is quite possible that you have many of the bad situations you have in your life because you pay so much attention to them that they feel welcomed. It is also reasonable to believe that if you stopped paying so much attention to the bad things, they would feel neglected and go away. If you don't believe it, try it just to see if it works.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
No, it definitely is because it's all about, you know, what, again, what you put your energy towards and stuff.
Right.
And so for all the people that, like, get sucked up in the things that happen to them, I mean, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I go on Facebook immediately and there's just certain people that it's like, ugh, Monday, ugh, this happens, ugh, this, and I'm just like, ugh.
That's true, huh?
You know what I mean? And there's never.
And why would they let the world know about this?
But I don't even think that a lot of times that they're even aware of it, like, of how, like, much they're complaining.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if one little thing happened to them, their whole entire like day could turn around, but they're just waiting for something else to complain about, you know?
Yeah. No,
and
absolutely.
I used to not, and I'm not judgmental about it. Like I just want, those are the ones that I specifically put certain things up for. And,
right.
And it's funny because they know it, they don't know it specifically for them, but they're the ones that always respond to it and say, oh, that was really interesting. And in my head, I'm thinking that's because it was for you.
Yeah.
You know, so once again, you know, it's just about perception and, you know, the way that we choose to look at things. And I mean, in control of all of our thoughts, you know.
Yeah. And this is related to when we were talking about worrying and stuff, you know.
Right. About being useless, like useless emotions and stuff, because there's nothing that you can do about it, you know. So, you know, you may come in and the, you know, the power might be out and everything. So do we sit and go, damn it, fuck, shit, what do we do? Or do we just go, all right, well. What are we going to do? You know what I mean? And like, just like look forward and stuff.
Okay. And apparently that's what I did.
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, you for one quick second, but you were smiling through it. So
yeah,
that was, you know,
course.
You didn't make me nervous.
No, it wasn't such a big problem. If it was a big problem, you'd know.
You would,
about
I know.
It. Yeah.
But, you know, I try to throw a little humor in and act dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Act. And then my positive news story for the day is, not that rape is ever positive,
right.
But, in London, a man gave out some evidence to help finding a rapist. He actually knew some, you know, had seen something or whatever, and so there was a reward out, and so they gave him £10,000 for, you know, helping catch the rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of keeping the money, he actually gave the money to the victim.
Ah.
Yeah, he said he thought about it because he was thinking, you know, I could pay my car off, I could do all these things, and at the end of the day, I just said at the end of the day. I'm going to be so aware of that now.
That's okay. Good.
What do I use instead of at the end of the day?
Bottom line?
Well, no, that just like cuts it too short. At the end of the day, he thought that it would be more important for her to have it because, you know, she's dealing with all the struggle and everything. And from the rape, she became brain damaged and all this kind of, you know, other things that happened to her and stuff. So here was somebody who was just trying to do a good deed who, you know, got rewarded in return. And instead of, you know, some people have been like, well, I did a good deed. Here's my money.
Right.
He decided to still pay it forward again and give it to her.
Nice.
Yeah. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. Where did you find that story?
On goodnewsnetwork.com.
Oh, I see. You're probably the only reader.
Wow. Negative Nelly. That's a song we should have for you.
Yeah.
Negative Nelly. Negative Nelly. Okay, I'm not going to sing ever again. No, I'm sure there's other readers yeah. there too.
I mean, look, on Facebook, I never put, or rarely do I put negative things.
No, I know. Yeah. I like when I see right? your updates because they have exclamation okay. points at the end of them. And it's so funny because I try to picture you with a smile when you write some of these things or excited. And you have a couple of different personalities. So it's interesting to try to figure out which one they are
yeah,
at that moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty complicated, yeah. Yeah. You could say that.
Does your wife say that?
Yeah.
Does she understand you
Everyone
yet?
Everyone that knows me.
Does she understand you yet?
Yeah.
She does.
She
oh,
understands. But she doesn't want to accept it.
She's still trying to change you.
Yeah.
Stop reading.
Yeah, welcome to the world, you know.
Of women trying to change
yeah,
men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what'd you do yesterday while the rest of the world is waiting for us to be on air? Slept.
So I went to that boring birthday party.
Right.
And, you know, I don't get surprise parties because, you know, especially when
you pull
like,
out a book. Everyone be wishing you a happy birthday. Be like, can everyone go home, please? I want to read.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just think that most of the time the person knows they're going to have a party anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And second, you know, so it's just too much of a hassle, you know, to go through this and all this preparation shit, having to keep it from them and all that stuff just for like a second of reaction, you know. I don't know.
Does I have it seem so worth much it? Work to do here, folks. He's talking about this beautiful party that people have planned, and he's looking at it, but his perception is
yeah.
it's all work, and there's so much involved, and all for that quick moment.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, I've had 3 surprise parties in my life thrown for me, and I was surprised every single time. And I'm the biggest yenta, like, and gossiper. Like, I know everything that's going on, and I was shocked every single time.
Yeah.
And what it brings to you and what it makes you feel like that people actually went through that for you
yeah,
is awesome.
Cool,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So... You're gonna have a surprise party one day.
Yeah.
Wait. So you have had one.
No, never had one.
That's why you hate them.
Maybe. Maybe I'd love
Wait
to
until
have
you're
one.
On the other end of it and feel like how great it is that everybody you know took the time to do that for you.
I know, you know, but I mean, I'm gonna be 50 next year, and I figure, you know, probably somebody's gonna do.
Do you know
a surprise
when they do
party.
It though? They do it when because you even if you think you're gonna have a party, like mine was my 30th birthday, and I was thinking. Well, I always like to plan my own parties because I just want everybody to be there. And some of my friends don't like some of my other friends. So if I plan it, I get to have everybody there, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. And you get to have it the way you want, you know?
Right. So I was planning on having it. And so I was thinking a few days later was going to be my party. And so they ended up having a surprise party for me a few days before. So it was like very, very not expected at all.
Yeah.
And it was awful because people flew in from out of the state. And then there I was walking in from work in my work uniform. And I was like, if you guys were ever my friends, you so would have known that I don't want to be seen like this. What kind of friends are you? So I had to go upstairs and change immediately. But but I mean, it was so nice to know that people like, you know, went out of their way for you.
That's true.
I guess.
So it's not just that second. You're right.
No, it's not. It's
and
about
it stays
everything
with
involved.
You too.
Yeah, totally. It was really nice.
Yeah.
I want to throw you one. I don't know if you have any friends, though, now that you go to parties with books.
Yeah, maybe that's a problem. I have no friends.
Maybe they've tried every year, but they have nobody that's going to show up.
Yeah. I know. I'm too busy that day.
They're like, oh, just tell them to go read a book. You know, there's some people that are like, oh, take a hike. You're like, go read a book. It's a big insult to you.
I know. I didn't see it as an insult. I just thought saw it as better just sitting there and looking bored and irritated. I just thought I'd occupy myself.
Why do you get irritated at parties, though?
Because
this is not the first party you've talked about, like being bored and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, there's some parties that I enjoy, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, you see, it's not my friends, you know. If I go to a party with my friends, it's a different thing, you know. But when you go and it's somebody else's friends.
So you don't think that maybe you have, like, new things to learn from people? Or
I do, but they none of them seem to be into me. So who the fuck do I talk to?
Maybe it's
to,
that
you
dark
know?
Cloud you're carrying above your head. They're like, gotta stay away from that.
It probably is. Who knows?
I go to a party, and, I mean... I'm pretty outgoing, but I don't just like walk up to people because it's weird. In that some way, like I'm sometimes shy, but I'm always smiling at everybody. And so people end up coming up and being like, hi, because you give off that welcoming type thing, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I always smile to strangers and stuff, you know, just to kind of be polite and nice.
Yeah.
And people rarely return the smile, so I don't know what it is. But no, I mean, it's just it's a group of people that I never felt I could really...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well.
So, but you go, you know, for your wife and stuff, but it doesn't mean it has that it's interesting.
Uh-huh, but then she having a good time knowing that you're having a bad time?
No, she was having a good time, because I finally decided, you know what, I better leave and come back and get her.
No, sometimes that's better, though. Yeah, no, sometimes that's better. I would have rather, you know, had my husband do the same thing.
Yeah.
Get
lost.
Well, because then the whole time you're worried about them and them having fun and all that kind of stuff, you know, and you don't want to, I wouldn't want to put that pressure on somebody.
Exactly.
I don't even want to make someone hold an elevator door for me. Yeah. I don't want to put anything on anybody, you know.
But you know what I mean? To their credit, it's like I get bored quickly, you know, with people. It's like they, you know, somebody has to be stimulating for me to enjoy this.
Yeah, you told
me
that.
Otherwise, people talk about like things that don't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
You wrote me that an email once about that you get bored and you need constant stimulation. And I'm like, it's a lot of pressure. I was like, no wonder why you had so many co-hosts. How am I going to keep them entertained? What do I do? I better start reading more. I better have something intelligent to say. Or else my 15 minutes are out the door.
Well, it doesn't have to be intelligent as long as it's funny or
dirty.
Engaging or whatever. Yeah, dirty. You know.
Well, I could see because I already have two new songs already, so you get bored already so quickly with songs. Let's have a new song about ejaculating on her face.
We actually have a few of them waiting. I don't want to... I don't want to bring them all down on you at once.
Oh, no, thanks. I appreciate that.
But somebody's been working for you, so.
Someone's really enjoying his time. See, I'm glad that I'm bringing enjoyment to somebody.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are.
Well, and it brings enjoyment to me when it happens. It just hasn't. I've had so many personal self-discoveries lately, though, which are kind
of...
Yeah, which has been kind of... It's kind of hard, actually, on me the last couple of days, few days.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it or not, because you think in your life that you've gotten to a certain point, like where you've, you know, grown and progressed, and I have, you know, and come to certain acceptance about yourself, you know. But the last few days, I've been talking to men. Like, it's funny, when I put out there about how I want to meet people, like, slowly, certain people are coming into my life, and yesterday, I went out with somebody yesterday, just, you know, like, coffee date. And stuff, and it wasn't a date, okay, we were meeting. It was somebody that, like, 4 or 5 years ago that we had gone out, like, 5 or 6 times, and we had hit it off and everything, but at that time is when I was playing one of my roles of, this time I'm going to be the virgin. I'm going to be the sweet girl.
Oh, my
girl.
God, that was his luck, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, which is why we stopped really hanging out, is because, you know, I wouldn't even go past kissing, really, because I was like, you're going to like me for me, and blah, 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 you know? Because last time I was a dirty whore, and that guy didn't like it, so this time I'm going to be, instead of just where I'm at now, where it's just being who you are, you know, and the right guy's gonna like it or they're not, you know. So we have kind of kept in touch, and he got married, and oh, congratulations, blah, 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 and they just went through a divorce. Let's meet for coffee. Like, he's an actor, nothing, no date. It wasn't like a date, we were just meeting and catching up. Anyway, it was fun, we had fun, it was good chemistry, you know, that
still
kind of
there?
Stuff. Yeah but this is hard. Okay, so I've always had issues with my body, you know, and accepting my body and the way that I look and stuff. And then I realize, and I've always realized that when I've been intimate with a guy, it's after drinking, because, it, you know, it lets go of a lot of those boundaries and stuff like that, of how you feel about yourself and your inhibitions, you know?
Right.
And so this guy doesn't drink. Mm. And so immediately I had to face my own, like, demons and issues in my head, because my first thought, which is not a good thought, was, ooh, how are, like, not drinking, huh? How are you going to get intimate with this guy? Like, do you have to get drunk before you go hang out with him or what, you know? And I had to, like, stop and think about that. And I was like, whoa, it made me, I mean, being conscious of it is a really good thing, because then that means you can move forward from it. And I have moved forward in so many things, but the fact that that, like, still holds on, which is still, like, remnants from, you know, sexual abuse and, you know, and all of that, like, still carries forward no matter how much you're constantly moving ahead in your life.
Right.
You still have those things that want to hold on to you, but you've got to change, you know, your perception. So just dealing with it and actually talking about it right now was, like, a huge thing for me, because it was like a slap in the face. You know, I always say, like, just when you think you've learned so much, like, God or the universe, like, wants to, like, slap again and be like, you still don't know it all, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, now I've got to get to the point, if I think that I'm ready to meet somebody and have a healthy relationship, it's still, like, that last obstacle that I have to get over, which is, you know, being comfortable and loving yourself so completely that someone else can see you the same way.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, we went from...
That's heavy stuff.
No, it is, but it's positive, though, too, because I really think that once you become conscious of your thinking, then that's when you can make the change.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because how
can
I...
So do you think you can do it? I mean, do you think you can go to bed with him
let's say I'm not going to bed with this guy, if you're listening. We're not having sex the next time we hang out. You've got to wine and dine me. What I think is that I have to.
Yeah.
When it is time. You know what I mean? Because... You're ignorant, okay, not ignorant, but you're really not trying to move forward when you're aware of something and then you choose to ignore it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was able to ignore it before because it wasn't conscious in
my thoughts.
That's
what you were doing. You haven't dealt with it. You just ignored it. That's what you've done.
Well, I ignored it with, like, drinking and, you know, making sure, like, when we went out, like, whoever I was dating or something, you know, whether I met him at the bars, that, you know, we were both intoxicated. So it was just like, ooh, let's have a wild time, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really comfortable with my sexuality and things that I do. It's just being comfortable with your body enough,
right,
you know?
Right.
Which is why the couple of men in my life that I have had have been so in love with my body and like liked my type and everything that it helped make me feel comfortable,
good.
So I mean, it's a combination of...
So that's what you need to find, is someone that appreciates what you have, you
right
know?
No, absolutely. Yeah. but you know, you're not gonna always... you still have to appreciate it yourself, because it doesn't matter what someone else tells you if you don't slightly feel it, although it helps a lot if they really are into it. But I mean, it's a big stepping stone forward, because I always knew the drinking was an issue with intimacy in that way,
right?
But I didn't think it was so much like where like fear immediately came, like, oh my God, can I see this guy again? Because he doesn't drink. Like, to not go out with somebody again because they don't partake in that is, you know, something that you have to face about yourself, you know? And now that I have, it means that I have to deal with it. And it's like this huge giant step. And it was like this huge thing being lifted off me that I wasn't even aware was still there.
Mm.
So it was big. It was moving forward. Yeah. It's a positive thing.
It definitely is. You know, I mean, you never stop learning.
Right. Exactly. And I'm
especially
just,
about yourself.
Right. And I'm glad that I am. You know.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I am.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, can we get a bottle of wine?
Yeah, and some candles.
And then you might score. But up until then, I'm a virgin.
So, and you wouldn't drink if he didn't.
No, drinking for me is like a social thing. Like but that would defeat the purpose, though. Because, of course, you know, I can go and get drunk by myself.
Yeah, but no, but, I mean, why? I mean, the thing is, look, you sit with him, you spend an evening,
right?
You just have a few glasses of wine or something.
Right.
And that's it. And then, you know, you're not inhibited. Then he's where he wants to be. You know, he's not drunk.
Right.
And you can do what you want.
I know, but then I'm saying that it would have to be... It's not that he's not drinking. I have to get to a place where I don't have to drink to feel comfortable with myself.
Right. No, absolutely. But in the meantime...
In the meantime, continue your same behavior, Sherry. Yeah. Like the other night when I had the booty call or the booty text call, like one of the main reasons why... Like most normal people would be like, why didn't you have sex? Like my whole thought process at that time that I had to face too was... Well, I have the show in the morning, so you can't have sex the night before you have the show. No, because if I have sex with him, that means I have to go out and I have to drink and I have to get drunk. And so, like, I don't want to be hung over for having a show.
Right.
But so I connected that. I was like, oh, because you have to be, you know, intoxicated to have sex, to all that kind of stuff. So all that relates. And, you know, I'm ready to get past that as well. You know,
do you think you'd enjoy it without getting drunk? Since
I don't know. It's been so long. Yeah. Maybe if I smoked up.
Yeah. I wonder if you'll get a hard-on.
Listen, I've already had that part of the operation removed, okay? It's the voice I'm getting rid of next. No, I think that if I'm with somebody that is genuinely, like, so into me and, like, really attracted to me and really turned on by me, yeah, then absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely I can, you know, be turned on by that.
Right.
It's just... Yeah, it's hard, and it's hard to deal with that, but I think that I'm, like, you know, moving forward with that, and I think by facing it and dealing with it, it means that I'm going to be over it soon, and, you know, it's a really good place, even though it sounds really heavy and all that.
Yeah.
I'm mentioning it because I know there are a lot of people who feel the same way. I know that I'm not alone about that, you know, but I also know, like, now that I see it, and I see it clearly, that I can get past it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, would you want to get thinner? If you had the choice?
Yeah, I've been working on it.
Yeah.
I've been working on it for many, many years, and it's things that I don't talk about. I mean, I used to be up to 100 pounds heavier.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but right now, like, I have so many, like, at my knees, you know, I have, like, every time that I have tried to exercise, and I have, and I've lost weight, I always injure myself.
Really?
Yeah, but it's been, but so much other stuff has come out of it after that injury, whether it's, you know, self-discovery, all that kind of stuff, because, you know, I find the positive in everything.
Right, right.
But, I mean, I had lost, like, 65 pounds hiking, you know, up a Runyon Canyon and doing all this exercise, and then I tore my knees up, And then I put some weight back on again. And now, again, I took off a bunch of weight a couple of years later, and I injured myself again exercising.
Really?
And it's almost like...
What kind of exercising do you do? I mean,
hiking. I just have bad joints. It runs in my family.
Yeah.
I have bad joints. I mean, I heard it the first time in college in a dance class, like coming down on it.
Right.
You know, I have a torn ACL.
If you do the elliptical and stuff, I mean,
but here's the thing.
Good,
no, I did
right?
the gym stuff,
uh-huh.
but the gym is so damn boring to
it
me.
It is boring.
Like being outside and feeling... Because that hiking for me, honestly, is like it's also my meditative spiritual time for me as well.
Right.
You know, so it's... It actually motivates me to go exercising because when I get to the top of the mountain, I feel great. I have my moments with God and, you know, I have my little special places that, you know,
yeah.
I act cheesy in. But it gets me up there and I exercise. I even sometimes bribe myself. Like I've gone hiking with people and they're like, don't you need water? And I said, no, there's a water fountain on the second hill. So once I get to the first one and I'm really thirsty, uh-huh. I'm like, you better keep going or else you're not having any water, Sherry. So it's all getting, you know, and I've always wanted to be an athlete. It's weird. I always feel like I'm running inside. There's all these things inside me like that I want to be athletic. But I've also come to the point where my body wants to be at a certain way. But I'm also really healthy. My cholesterol is amazing. My blood pressure is more than perfect. Like all my numbers. When I go to doctors, they're like, you have the resting pulse rate of an athlete, are you? And I looked at him and I was like, do I look like an athlete? But there's certain things you just have to accept about your body. Like, I mean, the biggest part about me are like, it runs in my family, extremities. Like we've got big arms, we've got big thighs. And after losing a ton of weight, like your body's left over in certain remnants of it. And there's certain things that no matter how much exercise you do, it is what it is. It is what
okay.
it is. Another hated phrase. I told you you're going to hear all five of them today out of me. So it's about the point where you do what you can do and
right.
you feel good about yourself and you accept the other parts of you, you know?
Yeah.
And I am learning to accept it, but I still know that I could do more, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But look, at the end of the day, you know?
That's funny. At the end of the day, what? Are you happy with your body?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you doing anything about it?
No.
No? Okay. So can you be unhappy? Well, I guess you can
be
unhappy.
Well, I do watch what I eat, but I'm not ready for exercise.
Yeah.
You know, there were times in my life when I would exercise. I mean, years,
mm-hmm.
years, I would go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, at least 3 times, 4 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And I felt great.
Yeah.
I felt great. It's the best feeling.
Oh, it is. It's amazing.
But like you said, it's boring as hell.
Yeah. But that's why you find something that you really enjoy.
Yeah. But it requires effort, too.
You barely can get out of bed in the morning. Ugh, I got to start today. You know what I used to do, though? Like when it's not like, you know how when you exercise for a couple of weeks or however long it starts to get in your blood where
right.
you need to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I would put my sneakers right next to my bed. So literally when I crawled out of bed to go pee, I'd see them there. And it was like this mental thing that
uh-huh.
I'd feel guilty about it. I'm like, get them on, Sherry. And once I put my sneakers on, it was like Pavlov's dog. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to run. You know, like it was certain things
yeah.
that you had to do. And then it just became part of a routine.
Yeah.
You know, and now like I was hiking right before I started doing the show, but then now it's too early to go hiking because it's dark out. So I blame it on you.
Okay. I figured. I was waiting for that.
Again, take no responsibility for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Why should you?
But you know what I'm finding out, though? Most people, even people that I think have like the hottest bodies,
mm-hmm.
are still insecure about themselves,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
you know? Men tell
true.
Me that all the time.
Yeah. And girls, too.
Yeah.
I mean, no, probably even
yeah.
more.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like when I'm with men intimately and I talk about, you know, certain parts of my body or I get uncomfortable, they tell me about girls that are even
yeah.
more insecure than me. And I'm like, really? Because they're
yeah.
beautiful. But I don't know where that stems from.
Yeah. I think it's just from the fact that the media presents women that are very, very skinny,
yeah.
you know, as desirable.
Right.
You know, it hasn't always been that way.
That's true. I mean, yeah, because Marilyn Monroe used to be, you know, the thing, and she was like a 14,
yeah.
size 14. Even though
but
she
I mean, if
it.
You talk before like movies started and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the turn of the last century and stuff, people were never aware of that. You know, I mean, nobody had
they
like bodies
to compare
like
themselves
we do today.
Really to.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
nobody had bodies like we do today, you know? So I think a lot of the changes happened in the last, like, 50, you know,
yeah.
80 years
yeah.
or so, you know, since films started in that, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely because, you know, it's what the ideal of beauty is, and you should be looking like that, just like when really skinny was in, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because it is strange that you can go to other countries. Like, I told you, I've been told that if I go to Jamaica, I'll be a queen there, you know,
oh, really?
And worship there because they like, you know, curvier women and
uh-huh.
stuff. So, I mean, it is all cultural, and I think that if I went there, I probably would feel better about myself. I'd walk around like, I'm the shit. Which I still do now.
Yeah,
it's
you should
weird.
Still do it.
No,
yeah.
And I still do. Like, it's strange, like, with clothes on and everything, and I walk in a room, like, I feel pretty, and I feel, you know, sexy, and I feel all these things. But then the moment that, you know, it goes past that, then I suddenly, like, okay, like, clothes have to come off, you know? where's the drink? Shot. I actually found out recently, this is kind of sad, I found out recently that this guy that I had, that really liked me, we had drank together, and one time when we were intimate with one another, I had gone, like, we were in my room, and I was like, I'll be right back, I gotta pee, and I went to the kitchen, and I was like, vodka! And I didn't think vodka had any smell, but he obviously was like, did you just drink? I was like, water, and then I found out from my friend that he had told her that he really liked me and stuff, but he thought that, you know, maybe I drank a little too much.
Yeah.
Which I never drink outside of, like, in my normal life, really, or like, right. to excess, except when it came to, like, intimacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he must have felt it, you know. I mean, she needs to drink to be with me. It's
Well, he shouldn't have tried to get me drunk the first time then. He should have started off the right way, you know, and then maybe. But yeah. So, you know, it's something that, you know, you gotta look at and face, and, you know, some people will ignore and be like, screw it, I'm just gonna keep drinking, but I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Ready to move
forward.
You don't
have to drink.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Right?
Right.
No, I mean I'm affirming.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the affirmation. Everybody out there that is drinking because you're uncomfortable, you don't have to drink either.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have to do that, I think, you know, because people have inhibitions. You know?
I mean, I don't have, obviously, as the way I speak so openly on air, you know, about, you know, my sexual likes and dislikes, like, I'm not, you know, inhibited about that. Like, I'll say, obviously, that I like certain things in certain places, you know. Yeah. I'm not afraid of that. I'm very open with my sexuality. I'm really open about everything, like, even about how annoying I am, or I'm so positive. Like, I can embrace all those aspects of my life, but the weight has been the hardest thing that I've held on to for years, you know. And again, it stems from, you know, being young and all that kind of stuff, you know.
I can't imagine.
But I think...
Wouldn't you think, though, that if you worked out all these emotional problems from childhood, mm-hmm. that this would be affected as well? I mean, that it would be easier for you to, you know...
Like, to let it go?
To keep the weight off, or...
Oh, absolutely. But you know what's easy to keep the weight off, like, really, and I think I've said it before, is not paying attention to it, not thinking or realizing that it's a problem. And that's actually, I didn't want to get too deep into this, but that's actually how I'm going to let the alcohol drinking going. No, is like knowing that that's all just in my mind, and knowing that I can just flip the switch and make a conscious choice to say, okay, you know what? The next time I'm intimate with somebody, I'm not going to have a drink. And you know what's going to happen at the end of it? If he's not attracted to me and doesn't like what he sees, then that's somebody I don't want to be with anyway.
Exactly.
It really is that easy, you know, but I can keep blaming it and saying, like, all these years I've been blaming it on the weight and blaming it on the sexual abuse and all that, instead of just being like, okay, well, yeah, that did happen. Now let's just make the choice to say, let it go. It happened. Mm-hmm. You learn from it. Now release it, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's
what I did this morning, like, because I told you in my shower time, like, I always have my moments and that's how I get my day started, was that came up for me, was... It actually made me feel bad for a quick moment to think, God, I can't believe you're still dealing with that, Sherry. Like, you thought you had let that go. And then I immediately, and this was a natural thing, I didn't have to talk myself out, I immediately turned it around and said, okay, you're aware of it, let's let it go. And I did my breathing exercises and I was done with it.
Yeah.
And I really feel like even talking about it right now just means, like, I'm done with it and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
You know? So, because if the guy is listening that wants to take me out again, he's not going to let me drink. But yeah, it is that easy of just, you know, knowing that it was all in the past and it's time to just, you know, let all that go.
But sex is so much fun when you're high
and
drunk, right?
I know. And it doesn't mean that I won't do it again, but I should be able to have it both ways.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, alcohol and weed. Are you kidding me? Like, suddenly I am a porn star.
Yeah.
Like, all my pornness comes out. My pornness. Like,
no. Pornness.
I mean, I didn't say weed. I just mean alcohol.
Yeah.
Family. Truth serum microphone.
So what about the book of questions you brought there? Do we have any good questions there?
I don't know. I'll just open it up randomly.
Okay.
This was going to be yesterday and we had no guest on.
Yeah. Do you ever read any normal books?
What do you mean normal books? Like fiction?
No, non-fiction
too. You mean non-self-help
too,
books?
Yeah, non-inspirational stuff.
Well, my best friend just gave me a book, and I have the books you've given me. Well, those are self-help, I think.
Yeah.
He gave me a book, and I read, like, two pages of it. I do, but if I'm interested in, like, the Dan Brown book that you just read, yeah. I want to read it because
okay.
I've read all his
then
books.
Then I'll bring it to you.
Will you?
Yeah. In
okay.
fact, it came up, you know, when we were talking to Andrew and stuff, and we were talking about the mind.
Mm-hmm.
In The Lost Symbol, the new Dan Brown book, mm-hmm. They talk about science that they're trying to prove, like, that there is a soul and there's a mind and you can measure it.
Okay.
So they're talking about, like, weighing the soul.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And how it, like, outweighs the mind or doesn't.
Or whether it really weighs anything.
Oh, like,
you know?
Like
in the physical world.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do people, some minds weigh more than other minds?
I don't know. I mean, that's just what they were talking about.
I'm thinking, you
know,
mine weighs a lot more than yours.
Probably. With all the alcohol. Pretty soggy, huh?
I mean, when I was such like a six-year-old, mine weighs more than yours. Yeah. Oh, no, that's just my ass.
We got a phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Don't chicken out.
Hung up.
What's the phone number? I'll probably know it.
Actually, it was an unknown number.
Oh, okay. It's a yeah. bill collector.
Probably.
I have, you know what? I have been so good with my bills lately, and I've only had like one past due, and they called like 10 times a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm only like 3 weeks past due.
Right now, they're really desperate. They're
like,
really
it's
desperate
non-stop.
For money.
It's yeah. non-stop. I'm like, if you just put a phone number there, I might answer
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my phone's ringing all morning from people like that.
Mine is, yeah, mine's all unknown, private, this, that. And I'm like, it better just be that one bill collector because I'm only a few weeks late on
yeah,
it, you know?
Yeah. And everybody is, you know. I mean, I can't imagine anybody has good credit right now, you know.
Well, I do because I have some fake credit on me. Remember anything I told you about that I have, like, some credit on there that's not mine from 1977?
Yes.
It's helping my credit. It's, like, mixed up in mine. Did I ever tell you that I had identity fraud?
No.
Oh, yeah. Someone, like, took over my social security number, and I'm like, what an idiot. I was like, you can't even, like, rent a video with my credit. Like, I went to social services because, oh, when I got injured at work and I was out because of my knee, I needed, like, welfare. Like, stamps. Like, I was making no money, you know, and I needed help. And uh-huh. so I went into social services, and they all suddenly, like, they were like, we need you to come to this room. And I was like, okay. And then I went in there, and then, like, police came in there and everything, and they thought I was the one that stole somebody's identity. Well. And so I had to sit there and try to prove that I was me. And I was like, how do you prove who you are? Like, yeah. I know where I was yesterday. You know, like, and then they were like, it was in, like, 2000. You drive a 2000 BMW. And I was like, no, if I did, I wouldn't admit to driving a Kia. Like, I don't, like, you have kids. I'm like, no, I have none of this stuff. And, like, it just kept going on and on. And when they left the room, I saw, like, the phone number of the person who was saying they were really me.
Right.
And, like, I jotted it down and everything. Like, I'm actually going to call this
yeah,
person
right.
and be like, you better get back my social security number and stuff. And they finally, like, figured it all out. But it was crazy. Like, shit like this only happens to me. Like, I get identity fraud, like, all just random craziness
really?
In my life.
Mm-hmm. But how did they find out about it? I mean, usually it would be if you complained, right?
Well, I guess, no, I guess what happened is that because I went into social services, this person had already gone in using my number and was already getting, you know, welfare or whatever else
I see,
with
okay.
my social security number.
Wow.
So when I went in, it seemed like I was the imposter.
Yeah.
You know? But it was so weird because it was just like I had to, like, come up with all these, like, documents and stuff to say who I was, and my mom does not have my friggin' birth certificate, so that was a whole issue in itself. And I had to keep, like, showing, like, yearbooks and pictures of me and all this stuff of, like, who I was. And it
really?
Was yeah, it was
so
this whole
serious.
Oh, it was this whole process, but it really added into my one woman show that I wrote. Like, all these
always
great
finding
things.
Material.
Well, you got to,
yeah.
you have to, got to.
So what about that show? What is it? Is it something you did or you want to do?
It's something that I want to do. I wrote it, like, 5 years ago. It was one of those moments that I just finished watching Dead Poets Society, and I got really inspired. It was like seize the day, carpe diem, and I just thought about my life, and I just went in front of the computer, and I just started writing, and for 3 days I wrote nonstop, and I'd never
really?
Written anything before, and
really?
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes of material, and it's all about my Jewish family, and me, and food, and busboys, and just like my whole life, and it's really funny.
Uh-huh.
But then at that point in my life, I didn't follow through with anything. So it was another one of those, this is a good idea, but I'm not going to do anything with it. And so I keep going back to it to try to complete it or put it up. But I'm such a different person now than I was then that there's a part of me that's like, do you still want to put this out there?
Yeah.
And then I think, well, you're an actress, Sherry. It doesn't have to still be you. But then I think, but I want to put me out there. So I have this whole internal dialogue going on. So basically nothing's getting done.
Nothing's getting done. Okay, well, maybe eventually it will.
Well, I'm thinking there's parts of it that can go into a stand-up routine.
Right.
And I think I told you that I promised myself to get over my fear of improvisation and that kind of stuff, that I would go to an open mic night and take a few minutes of this material and put it up there. And so
yeah.
I keep looking around.
What's the worst thing can happen. You
boo
know,
me.
You bomb.
They
you know.
Boo me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my family, I read it out loud to my family,
yeah.
except my dad. This is where they first learned about the dirty side of Sherry was in the show.
I see.
Yeah.
That's important to them.
They learned a lot then. So me doing this show now, they're like, yeah, we already know all about you.
No more
so,
secrets.
Right, no more secrets.
Yeah.
So I think eventually I might follow through with it, which is great when we were meeting some of the stand-ups. And they're, you know, I've had one of our former guests that came in that's been writing me and saying, I'll take you to open mic night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Not just yet.
Do it.
Not I will.
Yeah.
I'll do it eventually.
Yeah.
Any other dreams or passions you have that you're not following through with, Dan?
Yeah.
She's 5'4", blonde.
God, you got me figured out.
Only time I talk about a passion or a dream, I just think of you and wanting lots of sex and spreading your seed.
Yeah, there you go. I just follow my hormones, you know? That's my DNA.
Is that all men's DNA?
I don't know. I can't speak for everyone.
Well, you usually do.
But the one...
I didn't think now is any different.
Nah, that's not true. I don't speak for other men.
You always generalize.
That's true. I do generalize.
But in a fun way.
But yeah, I mean, but everybody knows that men are dogs, you know, pretty much, you know. They need to
men,
hump
you wonder
all the
why
time.
Us women never trust. I always have men say that, and we're like, well, we're this way, we're that way. But then when you try to, you know, trust them, they're like, why do you believe us? We're all not the same. I'm like, but wait, you just told me last week when we were friends that all men are dogs and the same. But now that we're intimate, you're like, not all men are the same.
Yeah, well, they're not the same in other ways, maybe.
No,
you
it's
know?
Just pillow talk. You guys all suck. You tell us what we want to hear, like when, you know, if it suits
true.
Your needs.
That's true.
Yeah, when you want to get a little something, then
yeah.
suddenly you guys
I mean,
are good guys.
I mean,
a
man will say anything to get a piece.
But you know what's weird? Well, it's not weird. I have this friend that's really, really spiritual, like beyond, like, I mean, beyond me. Like, where I don't even understand the things that he's saying sometimes, but it's about, you know, us being energy and not all of us being an illusion anyway. But he was married, and I just found out that he's going through a divorce, and I thought, wow, like somebody that like believes that I do, that we are all just love and that's what we're carrying around, like that relationship didn't even work out.
Yeah.
And what it's coming to show me is that and we were talking about it on Facebook and philosophizing about it, mm-hmm. is about what love is, whether love is something that you choose to be or it's something, because people say all the time, I just fell out of love with them,
yeah.
not realizing that love is something that you actually have to work at. Or realize that you already are. You don't just, it doesn't just come naturally and all that stuff. Like, if you truly love someone, it is work, and you have to do everything within your power
yeah.
to, you know, make it work. And so many people don't do that. And that's why so many people are just getting divorced and they just give up because they're like, I don't feel it anymore. I fell out of love.
Yeah.
You know, instead of realizing that love is a choice that you make.
It's easy for you to say, you know. I mean, I don't know, because it's happened to me in the past where, you know, you'd be with someone and then you feel like, I don't feel what I used to feel for them anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also you said it's sort of like a choice you make.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, if like you meet someone and you immediately like fall in love and stuff, you
right.
know, it, yeah, there's choice in that. But it's also, it kind of consumes you as well.
Well,
you know?
But well, it does, because we already, because what people are forgetting is that we already are love. Like, I feel like that's our inherent nature is love.
Mm.
And so it's making the choice to, most people make the choice to block that out as mm. opposed to bringing that out.
I see.
You know, and so I think that people, when they don't bring it out in the right way, so they make the wrong choices. Like, mm. they choose to love the wrong people sometimes, you know?
Right.
But when it's always in your nature and it's always coming out of you, then I don't think that you'll make the right choices and it'll be easier to love somebody. I know that sounds weird, and I'm not really making sense, but if you can get in my brain, you'd understand.
That's
you'd understand.
A big if.
I'm going to think about it a little more, because I just started. It's one of those things that we were just speaking about like last night, and so it's
right.
still like all pontificating
yeah.
up around in my head. I like that word. Pontificating. P-O-N-T. Spelling bee. I was a huge spelling bee.
Really?
Yeah. And I was yeah,
wow.
champion.
Really?
Yeah. I've been a big spelling bee. Fourth grade.
Really? How do you spell mezzanine?
M-E-Z-Z. A-N-I-N-E.
Ah,
mezzanine.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Well, I was about to use S, but then I was like, that's Messiah. Did you know how to spell mezzanine when you just asked me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So thought you were going to...
No, spelling I'm very good at.
Uh-huh.
And grammar, too. You know, I mean, I'll read a book and I'll, you know, find every mistake that
mm-hmm.
there is. It's just the pronunciation. Give me a break, you know. It's only 35 years I've been here.
Do you know that is so going on in your head? Because I wasn't even thinking pronunciation, but you're still beating yourself up over it.
It's true. Huh?
I haven't thought about it once, and it's still going on. Like, I'm judging you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see,
I'm not.
It's hard being me. Carry the whole world on your shoulders.
Well, stop. You don't have to be in control of everything. Sometimes you can allow other people to.
That's true.
Let me run the board.
Yeah. Okay. I will.
I'm already kicking you out quicker than you know what to do with yourself.
Everything is happening a lot faster than I thought.
Well, I mean, you know, then you can retire sooner.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you'll have money around you and stuff. We're going
to... Do you realize you're trying to convince me to leave the show?
No. I'm trying to make the show bigger than we can hire people to do this, and you can just have your dream, like, brought to life.
We don't have to be here.
Well, no, I want to be here, but, you know, I want to be here bigger.
And alone.
No, I actually love your company. Because who else would I make fun of?
No, but I'll teach you. I mean, I don't have a problem with you running the board.
Well, no, I mean, it seems really intimidating. Like, when
it's not at all.
When you went on your break,
yeah.
Like, I looked at it.
She's like, could I do that?
Well, because I'm just curious.
You'll see how simple it is. I mean, you know,
it's
all the hosts
buttons.
Here. Yeah, but you don't use all of them.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And then there's lots of stuff on your monitor.
Yeah. You'll figure it out.
Everyone really wants to know about it. I saw Sharing with Sherry. Like, I saw two of those things right there, and I was wondering if one said to it next to it, come song or or corny song.
All right, okay. My friends, and you.
Do you realize you just put me outside of your friend circle?
You're not a friend. You're my coworker.
Damn it. Well, whatever. You're not a human being.
Yeah, now you're a threat to my well-being. Now that you're eyeing the board.
I would never throw you out of here ever
or on
the streets.
We're just laughing. Mm-hmm. We're just joking.
I know.
So we didn't get to the book of questions, but we can do that tomorrow.
When we have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. Well, apparently we had a lot to say today.
Well, I did. Yeah. I had 2 days worth of stuff built up. Still have a whole list.
It's like not masturbating for 2 days, right?
Well, that's why I was able to go out. So I was able to go out last night. I was like, well, I already did the work the night before. I'm good.
All right. Everyone, thank you so much. Sherry, thank you so much again.
Have a great day.
We'll be here tomorrow.
Listening to the Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show, which airs every weekday from 10 a.m. until noon Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question about the show or you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please email us at info@latalkradio.com. The Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.